This is the State of Things broadcasting from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. Thank you. Medicaid reform is at the forefront of the state's legislative agenda this session, but legislators are still debating how exactly to change the system. Senate leaders advocate a managed care model that privatizes Medicaid administration, while the House and Governor McCrory prefer an accountable care model where state health care providers are in charge. But a new report from the Health Law and Policy Program at Wake Forest University Law School argues that legislators should instead aim for a hybrid strategy. The report analyzes data from hybrid plans enacted in Ohio and Oregon, and it argues that a hybrid plan allows for a system with both patient-centered care and budget control. I'm joined now by Mark Hall, who co-authored the report. He's a professor of law and public health at Wake Forest University and the director of the new Health Law and Policy Program at Wake Forest Law School. Mark Hall, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you
Great.
Here.
Great to be here.
We should do a quick overview of Medicaid and talk about what it is and who it serves, just briefly.
Certainly, because these terms, Medicaid, Medicare, Affordable Care Act, they swirl around in our heads. But very quickly, Medicaid is the state-based federally funded program for people in poverty or near poverty. Sometimes people confuse that with Medicare, which is the program for those who are retired and elderly. But our state Medicaid program, which we've had for 45 years, covers almost 20% of the population, close to 2 million people. Covers about half the children in the state. And so it's a very important program, but also occupies a lot of the public policy attention and a lot of the budget dollars.
All right. And under the Affordable Care Act, the state had the ability to expand Medicaid coverage. It declined, saying that lawmakers, policymakers wanted to reform the system before they expanded it. What are the reasons for that? Why does this system need reform, according to them?
Well, first let me mention expansion just a bit, because right now Medicaid covers not everyone who's poor, but people who are poor and either disabled or elderly or single parent or child. The Affordable Care Act would have expanded Medicaid to cover everyone in poverty, and about half the states have done that, but half have not. And North Carolina was reluctant to expand because lawmakers were concerned that our current Medicaid program was consistently running over budget, and they wanted to get the budget under control before expanding.
All right. So now what are the two main models that are under consideration? There's a managed care and accountable care model. Maybe we should talk about what those are and why those are in contention.
Right. So there seems to be general agreement in the legislature and the governor's office to reform Medicaid, but two different ways of doing it. One is managed care organizations, and unfortunately healthcare is full of these acronyms, but they're similar to HMOs and other acronym health maintenance organizations, but basically they're very similar to commercial insurance companies that receive a fixed payment to take care of a defined population. So each person who enrolls, the managed care organization gets a fixed dollar payment similar to paying an insurance premium and then takes care of their problems. So if the care costs more than the budget, the managed care organization has to eat the difference. If the care costs less, the managed care organization keeps the profits.
So that's a real budget control mechanism. Here is your pot of money for those people enrolled in your program. Spend it wisely.
Exactly. The contrasting idea is accountable care organization, which is a newer idea. It actually emerged under Medicare, but we don't need to go to the history of that. But accountable care organizations are groups of doctors or hospitals or both that come together to take responsibility for the care of a defined population. They tend to emphasize patient-centered care, providing a medical home, primary care, case management where there's a doctor who oversees whether you need to go to specialists and whether you're taking the right drugs and provides access to urgent care and things like that. So that idea has emerged, but these ACOs, as they're called, are still in the very early stage, and so we still don't know fully how well they'll function.
All right, let me see if I understand then the tension. On the one hand, you could give the money to a for-profit corporation and a company and say, look, here's the money, spend it wisely, and then when the money runs out, you'll have to eat it. The ACO has the providers in charge of the care, which is to say, if I'm the doctor, I will decide whether or not you should have the procedure over and over, or a hospital. And of course, the worry there is that you're going to be over-prescribing, and if you just keep billing me for the procedure without any checks against this, we could go over budget. The other worry on the other side with the corporation and a pot of money is, well, a good way to make money, if that's the case, is not to provide the care. If I've already gotten the paycheck and I don't provide the care, then the money I save is mine. And so those seem to be the two where the tension is. But am I right about that?
You are. And the each of these organizational structures tries to do something to compensate for its weakness, but they each have sort of, at a starting point, a strength and a weakness. And so on the side of the accountable care organization, the doctor or hospital-led organization, initially at least they're paid what we call fee-for-service, a dollar amount for each procedure or service that they provide, but then they're given a bonus for saving money, but they're not strictly locked into sticking to a budget. And so that's the kind of the classic model of an ACO.
And how about what you did was you looked at two existing hybrid models in Ohio and Oregon. Talk about their approaches and why you think they might work in North Carolina.
Right. So the idea is if you have two ideas, both with a strength and with a weakness, isn't there a compromise, a sort of a Goldilocks solution, the one in the middle? And it seems certainly logical that you could get to this middle ground moving in either direction. You could take an MCO that has fixed payment and add to it sort of incentives or measures for achieving quality of care and maintaining quality of care. Or you could start with the ACO model, which is paid an open-ended way but has a strong quality focus and make its payment method a more fixed or budgeted method. So moving from one direction or the other, can't we meet in the middle? And actually, we have two good examples of that, both within the state and outside the state. So outside the state, Oregon is one state that recently reformed its Medicaid based on ACOs that receive fixed payments. And Ohio is another state that reformed its Medicaid by establishing MCOs that receive quality-based payments. And those reforms are working pretty well in those two examples.
So how do you know? Because, again, it seems to me that this reform is a little bit like people trying to get a drunk up on a horse, right? I mean, on the quality care side, you keep pushing too hard and you go over budget, and then the budget watchers push too hard and they're not getting quality care and the guy falls off the other side. It seems to me then the sweet spot is finding the metrics, the proof that you're getting quality care and you're staying close to budget. Do we have the metrics? Do we have the ability to measure outcomes so that we can hold any one of these models accountable for whether or not it's making people healthy?
We do, sort of. It's one of those halfway sort of areas of development. So the science or the practice of quality measurement is more of an art than a science, I suppose. But we do have good measures for quality that look at whether people are using the hospital or the emergency room inappropriately, whether they're blood pressure and blood sugars are being maintained at appropriate levels, other things like that that get at sort of the basic accessibility of care and quality of care. So we have a good set of measures that have been used for a good period of time, and so the goal is not simply to gather that information and report it, but also to use those measures as one of the aspects of paying the organization, so that money really depends on whether they achieve those measures.
And is that what happens in Oregon and Ohio?
They do, yes. They do that to some extent.
Now, we have examples of both of those, ACOs and MCOs in some ways, and there's actually an award-winning example of not quite an ACO, the Community Care of North Carolina. Tell us about that and whether or not that plays a part in any of this.
Right. So one of the strengths of our current Medicaid program, despite its struggles with the budget, is that we have an excellent primary care medical home model that other states are actually replicating. So this pays primary care physicians, the basic kind of doctors you go to at the first instance, to not just for the care, but for coordinating your care, for organizing or arranging referrals to specialists, for keeping tabs on all your medications and things like that. So that system is in place. It's statewide, and it's performed well, but it's still a fee-for-service, open-ended budget system. but it forms sort of the backbone for what could become an ACO or a network that could contract with an ACO or could contract with an MCO. So I think the elements are in place to really put these reforms in operation, but we need to decide which of these different structures we're going to use, or maybe a combination of both.
All right. Well, we will see what happens. The legislature has made it a top priority this year, and we'll follow the progress. And thank you for the analysis, Mark Hall. Thanks so much for being on the program.
My pleasure.
Mark Hall is a professor of law and public policy, public health, and director of the new health law and policy program at Wake Forest University. Just ahead, we're going to meet two of the most legendary hollering champions in the state. We're going to hear their hollers, but first we're going to hear the music of Ann Clare and the Wild Mystics, who perform at the Crown at the Carolina Theater in Greensboro on May 21st. Here they are, Ann Clare and the Wild Mystics.